The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
All right, welcome to hour two of the show. So, the Texans added to their wide receiver room because they lost two main components of it. Steph Diggs out and Tank Dell hurt. DeMeco Ryans, we played sound from him earlier this week, won't give a timeline for Tank Dell. Said Tank will be Tank, and when he's back and can feel like Tank again, he'll play. That's just him saying without saying it. Probably expect 2026 at the earliest. But they did what they had to do to help CJ Stroud. The Jags have done that, at least in the draft over the last couple seasons. They drafted Brian Thomas, worked out well for people. Hell, some people here in this town thought the Texans should have done that. Get Brian Thomas instead of trading for Stephon Diggs and getting out of the first round, they should have got after Brian Thomas. Hey, it's one of these sliding doors things, I guess. We'll see. So far, Brian Thomas has been working out well for a Jags team who had problems at quarterback throughout last year. They were supposed to get help from Gabe Davis, and who couldn't tell that Gabe Davis was kind of a Josh Allen merchant? Like, the Jags gave Gabe Davis money. Look, if you want to give Christian Kirk money because you need a slot receiver, and maybe you don't think Kyler Murray is that great, and you think Christian Kirk can help, fine. But the straight line receiver who runs fast and is playing with the big-armed Josh Allen, you don't think he is a Josh Allen merchant more than anything else? They gave him a deal. They cut him. They're on the hook for a lot of that deal. Who is surprised that Gabe Davis didn't work out someplace else?
I think he's a class. This happens in the NFL all the time with the NFL free agency. Probably more so than any other sport, maybe baseball, where you have your suspicions about a guy. You have your suspicions that this free agent, who's like the fourth best wide receiver free agent in the in any given offseason, you're like, maybe this guy is a product of the system that he was in the first 4 years of his career. But I don't know. I do see the talent, probably former first-round pick, former second-round pick. And you're like, but I am a little worried that whoever's buying him is buying a lemon. And then you see the notification and the report from Rappaport that he went to the Jags. And you're like, yep, this won't work out. Mm-hmm. Like, yep, I was 100% right. It used to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I feel like, would always sign whoever the like second-best edge rusher in any given offseason was, and I was like, oh, this guy's probably going to fall off from his one good year that he had before free agency, and then he's probably going to get cut in 2 years, and yeah, that's the Jags with wide receivers, where you're like, listen, I see the talent, I'm not sure about this guy, and I see signs with the Jags, I'm like, all right, good, I was right.
Yeah.
I was right to doubt him.
That followed with a Calvin Ridley trade, right?
Yeah, Ridley's another one. This guy's Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
One of those guys.
So, of course, Gabe Davis, after being really healthy throughout his time in Buffalo, tears his meniscus and only plays 10 games. So he had played – he had never missed more than two games in his per season in his time in Buffalo. He misses seven his first year in Jacksonville. Now, they are designating him a post-June cut, so it doesn't cost him like the $20 million it would have. It's only 5.7, so it's not official yet, but they're going to release Gabe Davis in – I mean, sometimes you just got to regard history and use it as your guide. This number two-ish receiver plays with Josh Allen and really is just a straight-line guy who can run. Perhaps don't think whatever went on in Jacksonville, Buffalo's going to work with you. Yeah. They did it. It didn't work out. But as you pointed out, as we have pointed out, whether it be Ridley or Christian Kirk, they have not done a good job of bringing in wide receivers. There have been others. I mean, was it which Jones did they have? Did they have both? They had a Marvin Jones over there at one point.
I think. Oh, yeah. Or Zay. Zay Jones?
They might have had both, I think. But they did have Zay Jones, I think. And they might have drafted him.
Yeah, I was going to say, they probably drafted one, signed the other. Which, yeah. Whatever the wrong order to do that is, they did that.
Actually, he was a Bill first and then a Raider first, and they brought him in. And, of course, it didn't work out because that's how these things go. Unless you're trading for a superstar receiver, if you're bringing in like a second or third to, oh, maybe with more opportunities, he'd be better. No, it's not going
to
work out.
If you're signing like the T. Higgins or something, which I get that he went back to the Bengals, but he's one of those guys where you're like, hey, he was the number two in his previous spot, but like obviously, or maybe not obviously, but I can see him being a number one where some of these guys is like, nah, that is a number two receiver. No matter how much you pay him, no matter how fewer or how many less options there are in free agency, that guy's still a number two. I don't care that he's the third best receiver in his free agency class. That guy's a number two.
Yeah, and Marvin and Zay did play for the Jags at the same time for a year. This is why when the Texans, now this is a different scenario, they didn't give Justin Watson very much money, but the thought that, hey, Justin Watson could be a part of this receiver rotation, like, please no. You don't want to elevate the Chiefs fourth or fifth guy into your third slot. Just go get guys, and they did that. Now they did trade for Christian Kirk, which would fit the example of what we're talking about, but at least it's just for 1 year. But they also bolstered it by drafting guys, and generally speaking, drafting your receivers is the best way to go about it. And they did that. Now you just have to hope they hit on them.
Yeah, they're also asking these guys to be twos
behind a one,
twos and threes,
behind a clear number one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that that with the Justin Watson thing, it is a little bit of like, hey, so what was the problem with the Chiefs the last 2 years? What was the big? Oh, they didn't have wide receiver weapons, and this guy was on the Chiefs the last 2 years, and he wasn't a wide receiver weapon. And now he's on the Texans, and we're like, hey, listen, maybe we get something out of him. I don't know. I'm dubious.
He's giving me real Ben Skowronek vibes. Remember when people were excited about Ben Skowronek last year?
Yeah, and great training camp.
Look how that worked out. Okay, Real will join us when we come back, but let's get to this first. This show does a lot of joking in the realm of negativity. It's just part of our bag. It's what we do. We're a sarcastic bunch of use the adjective you want to use to describe us. But let's do some positive stuff because a lot of guys can use the playoffs, and you heard the term throughout the Rocket series, playoff risers. Jalen Green, a playoff riser. We know Fred VanVleet is one. We wanted Jalen Green to be one. He was not. We are not going to get after Jalen Green. We've done enough of that. We can we'll push that to next week. I'm sure something will happen. But let's talk about guys who have risen in these playoffs so far. Let's probably begin with number one. Now, he has been a good player. He was a good player last year. But when your colleagues vote you the most overrated player in the NBA and you do what Tyrese Halliburton has done, I think you got to be on the list. Is he number one? I have three guys right now that I think should be seriously considered. I'll throw Mikal Bridges on that list because five first-round picks for this guy, and now he's making game-changing defensive plays to help his team go up 2-0 on the Celtics. He also was big offensively in the fourth quarter. He hasn't had a great offensive series in this one. It's only been two games, but he was big time in the fourth quarter to help them win. And my third, as I pull up my list, Mikal Bridges, Tyrese Halliburton, and a surprise, at least until I looked at the numbers, Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook shot over 40% from the floor against the Clippers. And sure, they got their ass kicked last night. He was one of the only good players. Now, he's still like a minus 30 because the game was an ass kicking.
They lost by 45.
But he played well, and he was good in game one, and he was good in the Clippers series. As far as most surprising, I think I would throw Russell Westbrook at number one. But as far as best player, I think I'd throw Tyrese Haliburton as the biggest playoff riser.
So far. Haliburton, best player on his team.
Yeah.
Has made two game winners.
Yeah.
I think Haliburton is the most prove the haters wrong.
Yes. If we had imaging for it, it was who is beating the allegations? And Tyrese Haliburton, who we know to be a good player, but the allegations were he was severely overrated. Maybe Dame Lillard whipped up the votes.
Yeah.
But
he was like, by the way, this is why the player thing is always overrated. He led the NBA in votes for most overrated player. That was like 15 people.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of
guys. Like, it's not that many.
It's become a storyline, but it wasn't that many guys.
which makes me believe that Dame Lillard or Giannis got every single member of the Milwaukee Bucks to vote him for.
Just a Milwaukee Bucks beat writer for the Athletic who did it and just asked?
No,
all the Bucks?
I think they whipped up the votes.
Yeah,
and then other people around the league were like, I don't know, maybe like one or two were like, yeah, him.
Yeah, sure.
But everyone else was like Rudy Gobert
picking up. Well, Rudy's the other
or abstain
easy example. Oh, yeah, or maybe you just don't involve yourself in the negativity, which is not what we would do. Yeah. I would have an answer, Jaylen Brown. So, Tyrese Haliburton, this year he has not been that great. Tyrese Haliburton, Mikal Bridges, Russell Westbrook. I think those three guys have done quite a bit for their reputations in these playoffs. Now, Russ is an MVP, Hall of Famer, all that stuff, but people had a negative slant on Russell Westbrook. Of course, he can go into game three and miss a game-tying layup and things will change.
Yeah,
but so far...
Even in the Clippers series, like... You got the good Russ and the bad Russ in the same game.
Force of nature.
Just alternating possessions, whether he was going to be good or bad.
Yeah, but on a roster that...
He did brick like three layups that would have been huge
for him. But the fact that he was making over 40% of his threes kind of balances some of that out. And
they are wide ass open.
Well, talk to the Celtics about that then.
I mean, but they are like, our game plan is to leave you open, dude. This is a practice
Sometimes those are the toughest shots, When you get to take that rhythm dribble because there's no one near you and fire up the
those
shot.
Those are the toughest ones.
Yeah, sometimes people get a little tight. The Celtics are proving that example.
Sounds like he did 60% of the time.
They weren't all wide open. They weren't all. But he's made enough. You make 40% of your jumpers no matter how they – or threes, no matter how they come.
Yeah,
you got to give the man a little credit. Little credit. And he's – and look, they're playing with like 5.5 guys.
Yeah,
because
it's like
Porter Jr.'s shoulder.
Porter is like every other game, whether like – You got it tonight?
Yeah, they,
nope.
Yeah, right. They ask him after every game. Yeah, I try to go out there. Sure, I'm not at my best, but the guys need me. I'm always going to try. And, of course, they can always tell me if I'm hurting the team, then maybe I shouldn't play. So if that's where they are.
The Nuggets are like, have you seen the other guys on this team? You're fine.
Julian Strong.
One-armed Michael Porter Jr. and good Russ and bad Russ.
Yeah.
Like, we can.
Don't worry.
This way better than the Pickets, than the Strothers, than the Zeke Nagy's.
Aaron Gordon has a game winner in him, right?
Yeah.
Don't worry about
every,
it. Every four, three
25%
or four games.
Of these games, he'll hit a game winner.
He's going to make a game winner to win us a game we weren't supposed to win. Okay, so that's it. Sure, it always devolves into taking shots at people, but I didn't want to credit those guys who either overcame some fake allegations or some real criticism throughout the year. And Mikal Bridges caught it a lot because the Knicks could never beat any good teams, and he was supposed to be one of the difference makers. He has been so far in the series against a team that they were built to beat.
Honorable mention, Fred VanVleet. His team's out,
that's
so
true.
Whatever. But
Fred belongs on the list considering what he had been all regular season. He turned and really maybe with the first two games of the series, and then he flipped the switch and became 2019 Toronto Raptor Fred, and they needed every bit of it. Unfortunately, they didn't get enough from everyone else. But you got to credit Fred for being what he was when they needed him, and that might lead, if he wasn't already going to get it, to an extension with the Rockets that makes him a part of their core at this point. If he's going to be back for 2 to 3 more years, you might as well just say Fred's part of the core too. All right.
Core seven?
That's too big of a number. still thinking you can't have more than like four core players. The fact that Fred might be one of them is a giant surprise. All right, we'll be joined by Raheel Ramzanali when we come back. He is the host of the CityCast podcast. He'll tell you what is going on in the city of Houston. And we can have an Ask Raheel segment. If you want to ask Raheel a question, you can. 713-780-3776. He doesn't know about this, but if you call in, he'll find out. We'll be with Raheel when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
In no surprise to me, despite the text earlier today saying 11:15, he asked that question. I said, yep, Raheel's not here. Now, we did go a little late, so maybe he's just biding his time. We'll see. But we do have breaking news. They have come to a conclusion and a vote. The Cardinals have elected a new pope. The white smoke has been seen. We don't know who the new pope is because, as I was talking to Sean about it during the break, for as many issues as you may say the Catholic Church has, the announcement of the pope is not one of them. From the smoke to him just coming out without anyone knowing who he is, and he walks out there to the throngs of people and the millions of people around the world, it's good showmanship what they do.
Yeah. I mean, you can, again, rightfully knock them for a lot of things.
Sure. This comes from a man who spent time.
Yeah. Every Thursday. I was sitting in a Catholic school mass for 12 years. Let me tell you. They knock out of the park with presentation.
We are talking about elite level presentation.
Yeah. If I had one note for the conclave or for the, how they announce the pope, keep that white smoke going.
You just let it go until he's out there,
until he walks out, walks through the white smoke.
Just make it like a Miami Hurricane game from the 90s and the 80s.
Have a guy with a fire extinguisher. Yeah. And then this 75-year-old man walks through.
Through the smoke. Like college-age kids say it's difficult to see, and they had to put their hands on the shoulder ahead of him just to make it through.
Nope.
But blind the 70-plus-year-old
walking
man.
Walking in front of a balcony, yes.
Yes. It's a good idea. Maybe pull back on the presentation a little bit when it comes to that.
Yeah, yeah. And at the very least, we can get some Alan Parsons Project or something.
Would Enter Sandman be better?
Some of the imagery, I don't think the Catholic Church is a huge fan of when it comes to Metallica.
Probably not. You got to pick and choose your intro music. Like when the
they do say a prayer in the third verse of that song.
Right before the Astros season began, our social team, which is really just Sam, asked us. It's an individual. Asked us what our walk-up music would be. Why don't you ask the Pope what his walk-up music is? Let's update things.
Holla back, girl. Wow.
Wow. I didn't know you had it in you. Francis. We don't know the current
Pope's
name. Yeah,
we don't know this guy.
We're going to find out here shortly. I was trying to figure out the timeline between.
You know it's a guy.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's ever going to be in question, no matter how long we live. But I was trying to find a timeline between the white smoke being seen and the Pope being made public.
Yeah.
It's about an hour, generally, for the identity to be made public.
Quick turnaround.
So we'll see. We'll see if. If the shams of the Catholic world breaks the news before the Pope actually walks out there.
Well, they know no electronics. That's how they do it.
I know, but does someone send out a little note on a piece of paper to get it out there?
What, a paper airplane out of there?
Yeah. Sources tell whatever religious reporters exist that we haven't.
By the way, there's probably not a ton of breaking news when it comes to.
Unlikely, yeah.
Religion.
Probably.
Thousand-year-old religion.
Pretty steadfast in their approach.
2,000-year-old,
yeah. Actually. Haven't updated their manuscripts in years.
They little adjustments every 100 years or so.
Sure, sure. Some new.
No, change some of the words in Mass
surely.
Just to keep people on their feet.
Yeah.
And they're
someone who's.
Honestly, just to tell the real from the fake.
Someone who's who has learned everything gets a little surprise every 50 years
or
so.
Yeah, it's like,
look at
not
that.
Not going to church very often if you don't know the new words. Huh,
so about an hour or so from the time the smoke is seen,
Hopefully we get it before the end of the show.
Yeah, probably get it before Raheel joins us, so we will see.
I mean, we got a new pope before Raheel joins us.
Yeah. So the Catholic Church, the Cardinals have made their decision, and we'll wait. We wait with bated breath to see who the new man at the head of the Catholic Church is. Exciting times.
Is there any Brian Windhorst fingers about the fact that the movie Conclave came out, and then like 6 months later, we have an actual conclave?
Well,
because I feel like this one's got an additional eyeballs, which they all have a lot of eyeballs. It's like one of the biggest religions on planet Earth.
Yep.
But feels like it's got extra eyeballs from the casuals. They got the casual fans in with Conclave.
So let me work out what you're suggesting. What do you think? He keeps doing the Windhorst fingers for people who can't see. Do you think that it coincided because they knew something was coming with the Pope, or do you think
he was sick,
or do you think they had a hand in?
And he was also 90.
Yeah. Well, then you could have put the movie out last year because he was 89.
True.
You could put out a Conclave movie every year because the Pope is generally someone who
is of advanced age.
So yes. So I don't know if that can be taken to account. The conspiracy would suggest, if we were watching one of Dan Brown's adaptations, the guy who wrote the movie, I forgot the movies,
Da Vinci Code.
I was thinking Tom Hanks more than the actual title of the movie.
Mm-hmm. And Angels and Demons.
He has like three of them. More than that.
I forgot what the third one.
There's been a sequel to Da Vinci Code, and I think there was a third book in that series as well. Robert Langdon.
The Other Vinci Code.
No. Don't think it was that the other code, the other Vinci code. But either way, in that world, there'd be some conspiracy. In fact, I think in the book, they tried to murder the Pope, or they had to protect him, whatever. I don't think that's happening here. I think he died of old age and other causes. So I don't think anything had to do with the other.
Or, sorry, let me get my fingers back.
Go ahead.
No, I guess we already, yeah. Never mind. Pope body double was going to be the general theme of my theory of he died and then they just had a body double until Conclave came out. He died and they're like, make this movie.
So,
and then they had a body double for 18 months.
Like, look, we're all
right. They would have done it like, I don't know, 2 weeks before the Academy Award votes came in. Yeah. I think that's how you... That's how you juice it the most.
Look, we're dancing the line of sacrilege right now. Understood, but I,
as someone raised Catholic, we're good.
I was going to
I'm
say
giving us the pass.
I was going to say, there's someone here to give me the pass. Like
say whatever. Well, not whatever you want.
There are lines, certainly. Like I could give you a pass to certain stuff, but if you say a certain thing, then we got problems. That's how it is. I can't protect you from everything. Just like you can't protect me from everything.
Mm-hmm. Can't protect you from Raheel ditching our show.
Well, should be expected, despite him being the one who wanted to remind me that he was going to make an appearance. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's busy. Maybe an emergency podcast for CityCast, now the Postman announced.
Oh, yeah?
Who knows?
That is something that's Houston-centric.
A lot of Catholics in the city. One in front of me.
There's a lot of people in the city.
It's true.
I don't know if emergency pod... We don't know who the Pope is yet, but we know we have one.
But the white smoke is there. Maybe he's got an inside source that tells him who the Pope is. His woge. But Art says maybe the champ is here, or many men, for the post walk-up song. I don't think so. Can you play that coming back just so people know what that song is? If there's a clean version on YouTube, I'm sure there is. So we'll do that when we come back. Maybe Raheel will call in. Maybe he won't. It's fine. And when we come back, beyond acknowledging what the Pope's walk-up song wouldn't be, we will give you a chance to win some tickets to Greek Fest. We'll do that when we come back.
Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN Radio. It's an interleague showdown in Cleveland.
Deep right field, and this game is tied. Monster home run from Harper.
Bryce Harper and the Philadelphia Phillies face Jose Ramirez and the Cleveland Guardians.
Gone!
Jose Ramirez.
Game coverage begins Sunday at 5 with first pitch at 6 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Many men wish death upon me. Blood in my eye, dog, and I can't see. I'm trying to be what I'm destined to be. And trying to take my life away.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
While Raheel is here, that song isn't for him. We were talking about presentation, and the Catholic Church does a good job when they're introducing their new pope. And we suggested, or asked a question, what could the walk-up music be for the pope? I did not remember the lyrics to Many Men, and now that I've heard them again, I mean, it's pretty good. Many men wish death on me. I mean, I'm sure there's some cardinals in there. We're like, all right. My time is in, what, 10 years?
Yeah, the second place vote getter?
Yeah.
Stanley Tucci's in there?
Yeah. Just really wishes Ray Fiennes wasn't around anymore. So thank you. Credit to Art for that song. And those lyrics are credited to 50 Cent. All right. A guy who gets no credit for forgetting that he was supposed to be here at 11:15 is Raheel Ramzanali. Raheel Ramzanali, the host of CityCast, joins us now. What's up, Raheel?
What's up, Del? How are you? I think going back and looking at the Get Rich or Die Trying album, the first album by 50 Cent, it's got to be up there like top 10 all time, right?
Considering the moment, the songs that came from it, what it turned 50 Cent into, yeah. It's one of those classics.
I'm looking at the track list. It is banger after banger.
I don't like this part of this. Classics. It's full of classics. Yeah, it's one of the... I didn't know we would get here from the Pope being announced or potentially being announced, but sure. 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Trying, one of the classic albums, not just in hip-hop, but of all time.
Yeah. I mean, even track two, you could apply it to the Pope, Patiently Waiting.
Well, that's really us. That's really us. We've been patiently waiting for a while now. And but they get it
like,
done.
Come on. Like, literally, this is a great this is a great album. For every track has some sort of application to the conclave right now. 21 questions, gonna make it to heaven? What if 50 had that as a secondary theme for Get Rich or Die Trying?
Are you like Andre 3000 who put out a piano album while he was at the Met Gala in a piano costume?
What up, gangster? What up, thug? Like, that is Pope applications.
What if you play these songs backwards? What if that's how we unlock the...
Oh, yeah.
When we find out who the Pope is, we got to do that deep dive. Maybe 50 Cent predicted this Pope's ascendance in 2003.
Pope Curtis Jackson?
Well, for stars he is. He's their Pope. All the TV, all the content he's created for stars over the last... decade or so. Shout out to Ghost.
And all the content he's created to keep Ja Rule relevant.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing because he wants to keep Ja Rule as down as possible. Like, he would like to bury Ja Rule, but the only reason I know that Ja Rule is still a thing is because 50 talks about him. Still, to this day. It's on site to this
still
day.
Still roast him.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Would you say I'm pretty petty?
One of the most petty.
I think 50 is up there as well.
Well, yeah, 50 is Mount Rushmore of petty. Nothing ever is over, particularly if he can get a joke off at your expense.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So now that we've introduced Raheel, once again, you should know him as a frequent contributor in his past to Houston radio, but now he is the host of CityCast, which is a great podcast. If you want to know the goings on in your great city of Houston, just listen where you listen to any podcast. It's there waiting for you. And you've got a couple things you want the people to know about. Let's start with number one.
Yeah, let's start with number one, the new budget. All right. So the Houston budget starts about mid-June. All right. So that's like their fiscal year, the city's budget. All right. So right now, like as of this moment, going into next year, the city is looking at about a $220 million deficit. Okay, And the reason this deficit is there, there's like several factors, right? So federal funding from the COVID dollars ran out. Mayor Whitmire last year, in his first year, renegotiated a deal with the firefighters union. So that had some like back pay that the city has to pay the firefighters, and including this new contract. This week he announced a new deal with HPD that still has to get certified by city council. So that's going to add to this. Then we have some cleanup fees from last year from Hurricane Beryl, the derecho. So there are a lot of different factors why the city right now is looking at a deficit of about $220 million. There's also this lawsuit that, like, it's kind of wonky, but the city was supposed to spend money on flooding infrastructure, drainage, and roads, but they didn't. So now they have to, like, back pay and do these projects. So there's a lot of these factors, right? So the reason I'm telling you all this is that there's, like, a major crisis coming, right, with this deficit. But Mayor Whitmire this week unveiled his new budget, which is going to balance the budget, right, in terms of, like, city terms. Balance means it's, like, pretty close. There's still a $107 million deficit that they'll be looking at, but they're going to be going into a savings account to make that deficit, that gap close. So he unveiled it, but now, like, the drama starts. So Chris Holland is a city controller. That's the guy who certifies the budget. He's the one, like, in charge of letting funds go from the city, right? Like, hey, you say, I need this. Well, it goes to his office. They look at it. They certify it. And then, boom, you get the funds. He and Mayor Whitmire did not have a good relationship. They are both Democrats. They're, you know, everyone thought that they would have a great relationship, but they don't. And they should be working hand in hand. So now, like, for the next month and a half or so, there's going to be a lot of back and forth and a lot of drama. I know it's not compelling, like, city budget stuff, but things are about to get pretty crazy at City Hall. So that's the big story right now, and it probably will be the big story for the next, like, month and a half.
I would say I was listening to you talk, and then I just typed in Mayor Whitmire to see what else is going on. And he has a Twitter account. I mean, it's not going to tweet often. The mayor isn't that active. But if you're announcing your $7 billion budget and you're saying it's your account, maybe say I on Tuesday kept my promise, because it's Mayor Whitmire on Tuesday kept his promise to balance the city's finances. Now the illusion's gone, man. Say yeah. I kept my promise as my $7 billion budget with no tax increase or new fees for city residents. So if you want more on it, maybe you are interested in what's happening in your city as far as the budget is concerned. The mayor has tweeted it out. I'm sure you can go to the city website as well. That's what I'm talking about. You think Raheel's just a jokey guy. Sure, he can break down, get rich or die trying, but also this, something very important for the city, that if you live in the city of Houston, your political elected officials are making moves. And Raheel is predicting drama.
Yeah, I'm predicting a lot of drama. And there was already drama last year. So when Mayor Whitmire was running for the mayor's seat, he promised that he's going to get this firefighter deal that's been in the works for years. All right. He's like, we're going to get this done. He gets in, and like shortly thereafter, he announces his new deal. Right. And Chris Hollins, who's the city controller, the guy who's in charge of the budget, is like, wait, hold on. You didn't even run this by me. Like, hold on, we can't be spending this much. Like, there are issues here. We got to figure this out first. So there was a lot of tension between them back and forth, privately and publicly as well, stemming back to last year. And then this week, Mayor Whitmire got that deal with HPD done that is going to give officers up to a 30% raise over the next 5 years. That means more money coming out from the city budget going to, public safety and especially the cops. And Chris Holland is like, hold on again, like, you got to work with me on this one. Right. And it's just going to be wild though. Again, I know it's not like the most interesting thing, but this is politics right here, and it shouldn't be political, but it is.
And dysfunction remains. And that is no surprise when it comes to politics, even if you are on the same side of the aisle. Nothing ever goes smoothly. We can experience it on the local level or the national level. Despite being put in positions where you're supposed to be helping people, it never gets there in a way that a lot of people like. Okay, so we've got budget concerns, and the budget itself is out there for you to check out. You also, this one hit me. Not that I live in the city, but the thought that we're running out of landfill space is a little scary.
Oh, yeah. So there was a really interesting story on the Houston Landing, which is an independent nonprofit newsroom, which unfortunately, like, they've been publishing for 2 years, but next week they're going to stop publishing. Some of my closest friends now, like in this space, in the media journalism space, work there. So, you know, I just want to give them a shout out as well. And we're actually going to be doing an episode on the Houston landing and like its impact in the last 2 years next week on CityCast Houston. But one of their writers, you know, laid out this huge thing that's going to impact the city here in the next 5 years, almost, you know, 5-10 years, is that there are more people coming here. More people are living here already. We're producing more trash, and we're running out of trash space. All right, like landfill space, we are running out of it. And as I just mentioned, the city is operating at a deficit right now. Funds are tight, and they have to figure this out. There's only 5 landfills right now. So they are expecting by 2040, the city is, that there's going to be another 1 million pounds of waste that we have to figure out. So this is like a pretty big crisis that is going to hit the city. I know 2040 sounds like it's so far away, but the permitting and studies that need to be done for landfills, it takes 10 to 15 years. So you got to start that now before you run out of space. So it's crazy, like the impact of 2040 is hitting us right now.
But yeah, but what about that Texan stadium? Where's it going to be, Jim? Real? Do you think it's going to happen? Do you think I from your comments, I know you're against it. I've heard a lot of people say they're not interested in that. But considering how these things work, do you think sometime soon, maybe not that soon, we're going to get an announcement that the Texans are building a new stadium in the greater Houston area?
I don't think so. Again, like just the way looking at, because that's going to be more on the Harris County side than the city side. I know the city will probably kick in something, but from the Harris County side, things are tight right now. Like everybody is tight with their budget. Okay, I don't see where they're going to get these funds, and especially with all the kickback that they got and all the pushback that they got when they kind of floated that story out. And that's what it was, by the way. It was the Texans floating it out to kind of see what the public response was going to be. And it was not good. You know, you heard me. I was very vocal about it. I think it's very greedy. I think it's selfish because as much as I love the Texans and I love rooting for them, they've been getting a sweetheart deal at NRG through the county, okay? It, like everyone else is paying a lot, the Astros and the Rockets for their stadiums. But the Texans have this really sweetheart deal because it's the NFL. It's because we can't ever see an NFL team leave again because sports, we can't operate without the NFL because it's the only thing that matters to people, right? So I think they were just floating it out. I don't think there's going to be a new stadium. I don't see how. Like, it's just not possible. Now, if the McNairs are like, hey, we're going to do it, then cool. You do what you want. That's your money. You guys figure it out. The NFL is a multi-billion-dollar company. You guys figure it out. You want to do it, you do it. But I don't think it's going to happen from public funds. I just don't see it.
And the alternative would be to refurbish the current building. And I've heard people in this back and forth talk about how the county has allowed NRG to fall into disrepair.
They keep saying that. Sorry to cut you.
No, go ahead.
Keep saying this thing, but like when I go to games, I went last year for the Tennessee Titans game, and that the game itself sucked because that was a terrible loss. But the stadium was outstanding. We had a great time. Like, they're doing a great job there. I didn't go in there and feel like I was at Lambeau Field. Like, Lambeau Field, when you walk around, you're like, okay, this is from the whatever it was built, the 60s or whatever, right? You feel like it's old. NRG still feels new. It still feels great. It was comfortable. It was nice. The amenities there are nice. It's just not nice enough for rich people. Okay, that's what the big thing is. Let's just say it's not nice enough for the 1%, right? Because they don't have these like luxury suites or luxury end zones. That's who it's not nice for. For us as fans, it was awesome. My daughter loved it. She was like, this is great. I loved it. It was fantastic. Because you and I, when we would go to games, we would always go all the way to the 8th floor and go to the press box. So as a fan, I was like, this is cool. This is nice.
I guess the pushback would be you weren't there on August 29th when that panel fell down. So they would suggest there are damages to that place And in that case, that was fair. That was dangerous, but thankfully there's no one there. So they would say there are things that aren't seen that the county has not kept up their end of the bargain. But as you said, sweetheart deals, it's the NFL. You're gonna get those things. And, of course, you got money to spend, but no one wants to do that. And if the McNairs look across their division, Lucas Oil's been there for a while, but the other two are getting – the Titans and the Jags are getting new buildings, and that's going to come from public money. So I'm sure that McNair's like, hey, what about us? Well, we've had that discussion, and I just brought it up because it came up either earlier this week or late last week. Earlier this week, they're at a golf tournament, the McNairs, and they were asked about a potential football facility and also a new building.
Yeah, and that I totally get. Like, if they want to move their headquarters, their offices to somewhere else, then do that. Again, that's on y'all. Like, as a private team, like, you do it. If you want to move the Texans headquarters to Sugar Land, Texas, cool, do it. Like, that's fine. It's just this public funding stuff where, yes, there are benefits to the public, right? Like jobs, the pride, all that stuff. It pumps in local money, right? Or local, it pumps in money to a local economy. I get all that. But if the McNairs were to sell the Texans, guess who's getting the profit from that? We're not. The people aren't getting that.
Not the people who are going to be asked to pay for their new building. It'll go to them. Rahil, you've been part of this station in different ways over years. Do you remember Greek Fest?
I do remember Greek Fest. The Luka Mates, right?
Yeah.
Is that what they're called? Yeah, the Greek honey balls. Man, they're so good.
I bring it up because we have a pair of tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to Greek Fest. Caller 2 right now gets a pair of tickets. Greek Fest is going on. You can go to HoustonGreekFest.com to get tickets. And admission is good for all 3 days. And, of course, you heard Rahil talk about the great pastries. They also have gyros, Greek salad. Those pork skewers are really good. The live Greek music, the dancing, it's all there for you. Carnival rides and games for the kids. It's a festival. It's just not about the food, not just about the music. It's about everything. So caller 2, 713-780-3776. If you want to feel like you're in Greece without that passport, Greek Fest is for you. And also, remember, it's on 1100 Eldridge Parkway, just south of I-10 on Eldridge. So, love Greek Fest. They have brought great food up to the station for years now. Let's get that done again, by the way. Greek Fest, HoustonGreekFest.com. But speaking of websites, Rahil, tell the people where they can find more about Houston CityCast.
Yep, Houston.CityCast.FM is where you need to go. We have the podcast up there, CityCast Houston, of course, as you've mentioned, Del. But we also have our sister newsletter, Hey Houston, which you should subscribe to. For example, this past week we wrote a story on Cactus Music, which is turning 50 years old this year. So why it's important, the impact it's had, impact that it's had on the Houston music scene, on my life. I love vinyls. I love going to Cactus Music. I saw Krungbin play there for 200 people. It was unreal. That's a Grammy-nominated Houston band. There's stuff about what to do this month in May. We got you covered. Like, this is your place to fall in love with Houston all over again and learn about it. Like, things that are impacting you, from political talk like we just had to food hot takes. I went viral on Instagram because my guest Erica Chang called out Beyonce and Meg Thee Stallion for their food recommendation. And
does she know what she's getting into when she?
Yeah, surprisingly, everyone was in favor of Erica's thoughts. They're like, "Yeah, why are we getting recommendations from people who don't live here anymore?" So
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, a lot of sense there, right? So you can listen to that episode on Houston.CityCast.FM, and then next week, as I mentioned, we're doing a bunch of different episodes. On Monday, we're talking about the power grid. Is it ready? Like, all these changes that CenterPoint is making, the state is making. Will we be good? Are we going to have power outages as we enter hurricane season? And then we've got a bunch of other episodes that you'll check out in your feed every morning if you subscribe at Houston.CityCast.FM or wherever you listen to podcasts.
That is Rahil Ramzanali. Great information. And, of course, couple podcasts up right now, The Unwritten Rules of the Road in Houston, and
oh, yeah.
A podcast about food
as
well.
We take that at ESPN, by the way. We take it at y'all studio.
I remember you walked by here and then stepped in on the show when you weren't invited. I remember all that. But Raheel, so Raheel Ramzanali, the whole city cast here with us. When he can, he'll join us. He was a little late because he was actually recording.
That happens.
No worries there, but I was ripping you, and I just want to explain to people he was actually doing something as opposed to just ignoring the show. All right, Raheel, we'll talk to you next week if you can. We always try to make sure we get him on if he's available. Raheel Ramzanali, host of city cast. Thanks.
Thank you, Dale.
Bye. All right, we got one very quick segment to go. We'll come back with that, and then we'll wrap it up because Paul Gallant is up next.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll wrap it up with this. We're in the second round of the NBA playoffs, and we got some of the biggest foul grifters of all time. At least active foul grifters. Let me clean it up a little bit. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has that reputation. So does Jalen Brunson. But no one can compete with Jimmy Butler. Since the 2020s began, so we're talking 5+ years now, no player has, and this is the stat, players with at least 2 more free throws made than field goals made in the 2020s. So that just simply means, has a player not just attempted, but made more free throws than field goals made in the 2020s. Jimmy Butler's the most prominent player on the list. He's played the most games by a far amount because a lot of these guys are guys who are just hanging on into the career, so they're never getting jump shots or making shots. They may get fouled when a team's in the bonus, so they get to go to the line. Jimmy Butler has 104 more free throws made than field goals made since 2020. The next closest, Damari Carroll with 4. 100 more than the next guy. So while Shai catches it, he is still making more shots than he is free throws made.
And this is something that we talked about yesterday with the question with Jalen Green and that Rafael Stone called flawed, is that those stats match your eye test when you watch the Rockets. These stats match your eye test when you watch Jimmy Butler play.
So the Rockets just played the most gifted foul grifter of the 2020s and it went 7 games. The Warriors are going to need plenty of the grifting without Steph Curry out there. 100 more than the next guy. And all these other guys are either at the end of their runs in the 2020s or like G Leaguers who may have got a 2 minutes in a game or something. 104 more. And 100 more than the next closest guy. Shout out to Jimmy. One of the more unique stars in basketball. We're done. Paul Gallant has got up next, followed by the Killer Bees. Since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
We did it!
No, you didn't, Jason Tatum. Not last night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.